You are listening to Electronica by Veronica on Spirit Plants Radio, broadcasting around the world at spiritplantsradio.com.
Turn on, tune in, and visit us on the web at spiritplantsradio.com for schedules, playlists, archives, and more.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
listening to Electronica by Veronica on Spirit Plants Radio, broadcasting around the world at spiritplantsradio.com.
Turn on, tune in, and visit us on the web at spiritplantsradio.com for schedules, playlists, archives, and more.
The following program deals with a controversial subject. The theories expressed are not the only possible interpretation. Viewers are invited to make a judgment based on all available information.
Thank you. Spiritplantsradio.com for schedules, playlists, archives, and more. Oh, so much. Right now, what more is that it is time to turn and look over there at that wall, that door in the wall. Push that door in or pull that door out, and you will come to the bulk of the Burning Man Book Archive Project. Where you will find, sitting on a small table, a small book. It is even bookmarked for the It is entitled The Secret Share by Joseph Conrad, and we read as follows thusly. And now, we'll have a look at my stateroom, I declare, in a voice as loud as I dare to make it, crossing the cabin to the starboard side with purposely heavy steps. He followed me and engaged around. My intelligent double had vanished. I played my part. Very convenient, isn't it? Very nice, very comfortable. He didn't finish and went out brusquely as if to escape from some unrighteous wiles of mine. But it was not to be. I've been too frightened not to feel vengeful. I felt I had him on the run, and I meant to keep him on the run. My polite insistence must have had something menacing in it, because he gave in suddenly. And I didn't let him off a single item. Mate's room, pantry, storerooms, the very sail locker, which was also under the poop. He had to look into them all. When unless I showed him out on the quarter deck, he drew a long, spiritless sigh and mumbled dismally that he really must be going back to his ship. I desired my mate, who joined us, to see to the captain's boat. The man in whiskers gave a blast on the whistle which he used to wear hanging around his neck and yelled, "Safari away!" I doubled down there in my cabin, must have heard, and certainly could not feel more relieved than I. Four fellows came running out from somewhere forward and went over the side, while my own men, appearing on deck to line the rails. I escorted my visitor to the gangway ceremoniously and nearly overdid it. He was a tenacious beast. On the very ladder he lingered, and in that unique, guilty, conscious, conscientious manner of sticking to the point. I say, you don't think that I covered his voice loudly. Certainly not. I am delighted. Goodbye. I had an idea what he meant to say, and just saved myself by the privilege of defective hearing. He was too shaken generally to insist, but my mate, close witness of that parting, looked mystified, and his face took on a thoughtful cast. As I did not want to appear as if I wished to avoid all communication with my officers, he had the opportunity to address me. Seems a very nice man. His boat's crew told our chaps a very extraordinary story, if what I'm told by the steward is true. I suppose you had it from the captain, sir? Yes, I had a story from the captain. A very horrible affair, isn't it, sir? It is. Beats all these tales we hear about murders in Yankee ships. I don't think it beats them. I don't think it resembles them in the least. Bless my soul, you don't say so. But of course, I have no acquaintance whatever with American ships. Not I. So I couldn't go against your knowledge. It's horrible enough for me. But the queerest part is that those fellows seemed to have some idea a man was hidden aboard here. They had really. Did you ever hear of such a thing? Preposterous, isn't it? We were walking to and fro athwart the quarterdeck. No one of the crew forward could be seen. The day was Sunday, and the mate pursued. There was some little dispute about it. Our chaps took offense, as if we would harbor such a thing like that. They said, wouldn't you like to look for him in our coal hole? Quite a tip. But they made it up in the end. I suppose he did drown himself. Don't you, sir? I don't suppose anything. You have no doubt in the matter, sir? None.
None.
Whatever.
Whatever.
I left him suddenly. I felt I was producing a bad impression. But with my double down there, it was trying to be on deck. And it was almost as if trying to be below. Altogether a nerve-trying situation. But on the whole, I felt less torn into when I was with him. There was no one in the whole ship whom I dared take into my confidence. Since the hands had got to know his story, it would have been impossible to pass him off for anyone else. And an accidental discovery was to be dreaded now more than ever. The steward being engaged in laying the table for dinner, we could talk only with our eyes when I first went down. Later in the afternoon, we had a cautious try whisper. The Sunday quietness of the ship was against us. The stillness of air and water around her was against us. The elements, the men were against us. Everything was against us in our secret partnership. Time itself, for this could not go on forever. The very trust in Providence was, I suppose, denied to his guilt. Shall I confess that this thought cast me down very much? And as to the chapter of accidents, which counts for so much in the book of success, I could only hope that it was closed. For what favorable accident could be expected? Did you hear everything? Were my first words as soon as we took up our position side by side, leaning over my bed place? He had, and the proof of it was his earnest whisper. The man told you he hardly dared to give the order. I understood the reference to be to the saving foresail. Yes, he was afraid of being lost in the setting. I assure you, he never gave the order. He may think he did, but he never gave it. He stood there with me on the break of the poop after the main topsail blew away and whimpered about our last hope, positively whimpered about it and nothing else, and the night coming on. To hear one skipper go on like that in such a weather was enough to drive any fellow out of his mind. It worked me up into a sort of desperation. I just took it into my own hands and went away from him. Boiling. And but what's the use telling you? You know. You think if I had not been pretty fierce with them, I should have got the men to do anything? Not it. The bosun, perhaps. It wasn't a heavy sea. It was a sea gone mad. I suppose the end of the world would be something like that. And a man may have the heart to see it coming once and be done with it. But I have to face it day after day. I don't blame anybody. I was precious little better than the rest. Only I was an officer of the old coal wagon anyway. I quite understand, I conveyed that sincere assurance into his ear. He was out of breath with whispering. I could hear him panting slightly. It was all very simple. The same strung-up force which had given 24 men a chance, at least, for their lives, had, in a sort of recoil, crushed an unworthy, mutinous existence. But I had no leisure to weigh the merits of the matter. Footsteps in the saloon, a heavy knock. There's enough wind to get underway with, sir. Here was the call of a new claim upon my thoughts, and even upon my feelings. Turn the hands up, I cried through the door. I'll be on deck directly.